business, and our first item of old business is subdivision 2023-07 Seaside.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2023-07 for Seaside with conditions and limitations based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, over the years, this property has received a lot of attention. It was previously the site of a proposed large shopping mall that resulted in litigation. It is also impacted by the proposed grade-separated intersection at Route 1 and Cave Neck Road, along with extensive improvements to Route 1 south of the site. For the reasons and conditions outlined in this motion, this proposed subdivision is appropriate at this site. Two, the applicant is seeking approval of a clustered subdivision of 359 single-family lots upon 241.239 acres. This results in a density of only 1.49 lots per acre, which is well below the maximum density permitted within the AR1 zoning district. All the lots will have a minimum size of 7,500 square feet. Three, this application complies with the subdivision and zoning codes. Therefore, it is appropriate to approve the subdivision with conditions. Four, the subdivision is located within the low density area according to the future land use map that is contained in Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The subdivision is permissible in the low density area according to the plan, which states that agricultural uses and homes should be permitted with densities up to 2 units per acre. This subdivision complies with the directives of the comprehensive plan. Five, the project will be served by central water and central wastewater. Six, the site contains approximately 60.7 acres of non-tidal wetlands. These wetland areas will be protected through the county's resource buffer requirements and through the creation of a wildlife management and community recreation area to be included within the final site plan. Seven, DLDOT has determined that the proposed 359 lot subdivision would be considered to have a major impact on the local area roadways, triggering a traffic impact study. However, DLDOT determined that in this case, neither a traffic impact study nor a traffic operation analysis is required for the proposed subdivision due to the studies that have already been performed as part of DLDOT's SRI and Cave Neck Road grade separated intersection project. DLDOT's SRI and Cave Neck Road grade separated intersection project creates a grade separated interchange or overpass at the intersection of Cave Neck Road and Route 1. As part of the traffic analysis conducted for that project, DLDOT previously factored the development of the properties on the east side of Route 1 into the overpass design, including 217 single family homes and an estimated 300,000 square feet of retail space for the prior project that was never constructed on this site. Based upon that data, DLDOT has determined that neither a new TIS or TOA are required for this new development design. Nevertheless, as the site plan for Seaside is finalized, DLDOT will still be required to approve all entrance and roadway designs and construction to ensure that safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and onto the road network occurs. A drainage assessment report and an environmental assessment were prepared and provided by the applicant. Under these assessments, it was determined that there are no existing channels, streams, tack stitches, or stormwater conveyances through the area to be developed with single-family homes. Stormwater will continue to be discharged into the existing wetlands through the well-defined floodway. Nine, this subdivision has a design that is superior to that of a standard subdivision for many reasons, including the following. A, the lots and amenities are clustered on the most environmentally suitable portions of the property. B, the areas of the property that will be developed and improved avoid the areas where wetlands are located. Additionally, these areas will be further protected through the required resource and resource buffer protections included in the county code. Plus, the proffered design and restrictions of the wildlife management and community recreation area. C, the design includes substantial tree preservation by preserving approximately 37.6 acres of existing woodlands, which results in the preservation of approximately 86% of the 43.6 acres of existing woodlands. D, the design includes approximately 140 acres of land that will be open space. This represents approximately 58% of the site, which significantly exceeds the code's 30% open space requirement. This also substantially exceeds the amount of open space that would remain within a standard subdivision of 3/4 acre lots. E, there will be a buffer that is at least 30 feet in width around the subdivision. In many places, this buffer is greater than 30 feet in width. This exceeds what would occur in a standard subdivision, and it exceeds the requirements for cluster subdivisions. F, the design includes an 81-acre wildlife management and community recreation area. 10, Section 99-9C of the subdivision code requires the commission to consider 17 different items relating to the site plan. The applicant has addressed the requirements of Section 99-9C of the code, and there are conditions of this approval that are based upon those 17 items. 11, as a result of these reasons and based upon the record that was presented, this application complies with the standards of the Sussex County Subdivision and Zoning Codes, and it will not have an adverse impact on area properties, roadways, or public community facilities. 12, this preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 359 lots within the subdivision. These lots shall be phased in pursuant to a phasing plan submitted as part of the final site plan. B, the final site plan shall confirm that 140 acres, or roughly 58% of the site, shall remain as open space. This open space shall preserve approximately 37 acres of woodlands, or roughly 86% of the existing 43.6 acres of woodlands. The area of woodlands to be preserved shall be shown on the final site plan as non-disturbance areas. Silt fencing shall be installed along the perimeter of these wooded areas to avoid disturbance during site work and construction. C, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, conservation areas, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. D, the stormwater management facility or system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. E, there shall be a vegetated or forested buffer that is at least 30 feet wide installed along the perimeter of the subdivision in accordance with sections 99-5 and 115-25 of the Sussex County Code. This buffer shall utilize existing forest or similar vegetation that exists within it. Where trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located along the interior limit of the buffer area, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, and the site plan. The final site plan shall identify the limit of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. Signage identifying this buffer as a non-disturbance area shall be installed along the buffer at 300-foot intervals. F, the proposed wildlife management and community recreation area, which is more extensive than what is required for resource buffers pursuant to Section 115-193 of the Zoning Code, shall be permanently protected, delineated, and described in the final site plan and recorded declaration of covenants, conditions, easements, and restrictions for the subdivision. Because this area extends beyond the areas protected under Section 115-193, it is appropriate to modify the signage requirements to permit their location at the perimeter of that area. Therefore, the 5-inch by 7-inch signage shall be located along the entire perimeter of all of this area at 200-foot intervals. Where trees currently exist within this area that includes resources and resource buffers, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within them shall be prohibited. Required silt fencing shall be installed upland of this area to avoid disturbance. G, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. In addition, no residential certificates of occupancy for any dwelling shall be issued by Sussex County until DLDOT completes the SR1 and Cave Neck Road grade separated intersection project and the improvements connecting the subdivision to Route 1 as part of that DLDOT project. H, sidewalks shall be installed on at least one side of all streets, along with a connection to the DLDOT multimodal path. A street lighting system that provides lighting in a downward direction with minimal uplighting shall be provided. I, as stated by the applicant, the active recreational facilities for the subdivision shall include a clubhouse with a minimum size of 5,000 square feet. There shall also be a pool with a water surface area of 1,800 square feet. Additional active amenities shall include sports courts, fire pit area, green tot lot, pavilion, and bocce ball areas. These amenities shall be constructed and open to use by the residents of the development in accordance with Section 99-21E of the Subdivision Code. The final site plan shall contain specific details as to the size and location of each of these amenities. J, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. K, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. L, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Geographical Information Office. M, construction, site work, and delivery shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. N, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district regarding the location of school bus stops within the subdivision. The location of the bus stop areas shall be shown on the final site plan. O, the final site plan and recorded restrictive covenants shall state that agricultural activities exist nearby, and they shall include agricultural use protection notice. These documents shall include a similar notice that hunting activities may also occur on nearby properties. P, final site plan and recorded restrictive covenants shall include a resource buffer management plan and shall serve as a guide for the management of regulated resources and their resource buffers, including managing and maintaining the area as shown as represented in the 2020 aerial photography. Q, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan depicting all landscaping to be provided or preserved in all of the buffers and wildlife management and community recreation area. The landscape plan shall also clearly show all forested areas that will be preserved. The landscape plan shall also identify all limits of disturbance within the site. R, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for each phase of the subdivision. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the building code department, demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. S, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. T, the final site plans shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The final site plan may be approved in phases, provided that the applicant shall initially supply a phasing plan with the first site plan submitted for approval. That is my motion, sir.
Just one clarification. I think it's just a product of the font that was in the motion on condition or finding number 7. I think you said SRI, and that's SR1, State Route 1.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just clarifying.
State Route 1.
Yep, that's all. Thanks.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2023-07 Seaside, but with the conditions stated in the motion. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
The chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Our next item is subdivision 2024-09, Lorraine Brown.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to 2024-09, Lorraine Brown, I'm going to hand it over to council to read the motion.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And the motion is that the commission grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2024-09 for Lorraine Brown for a two-lot subdivision based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this applicant previously applied for a similar subdivision of this land that was denied. That prior denial was primarily based upon the lack of a sufficient record in support of the application and for confirmation of the applicant's rights to utilize Victory Lane for an additional lot. There were simply too many unanswered questions at that time. As a result, the applicant reapplied and presented additional evidence during this hearing on this application. This decision is based upon the record presented during the hearing on this application. Two, the applicant seeks to subdivide the 4.75-acre lot where she currently resides so that another lot can be created with the home built upon it for family. Three, based upon additional information that was supplied by the applicant, it appears that she has the right to utilize Victory Lane for her own use and that there is no prohibition against subdividing her property to create one additional lot with access to Victory Lane. Four, according to a 1977 recorded survey of the lands of James and Ethel Campbell, the applicant's property has 400 feet of frontage along Victory Lane. A recorded deed in the applicant's chain of title from 1959 conveying the property to Seaford Construction Company also confirms that this property has been granted access to Victory Lane. Various other deeds in the applicant's chain of title and the chains of title to other properties confirm the applicant's ability to use Victory Lane. Conversely, there is no evidence in the record that the applicant does not have the right to use Victory Lane or create an additional lot with access to it. Clearly, other properties have done, property owners have done the same thing in the decades since Victory Lane was created. Five, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Six, the land is zoned AR1, which permits low-density single-family residential development. This two-lot subdivision on 4.57 acres results in an overall density that is significantly less than the allowable density in the AR1 district. Seven, although there were concerns expressed in the first hearing about traffic impacts, those concerns were not prevalent during this hearing or part of this record. Instead, the record reveals that the applicant's child currently resides with her and will reside on the new lot once created. As a result, there will not be any real increase in traffic. Even if the new lot is sold, one or two new vehicles will not materially affect Victory Lane, which already serves multiple properties. Eight, the proposed subdivision will be consistent with the other lots and uses in the area, and there's not any credible evidence in this record that the single additional lot would adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Nine, a waiver of the grading and street design requirements is appropriate since this is a small subdivision creating only two lots on existing right-of-way. At this point, Victory Lane is well established, having been in existence at least 60 years with multiple properties using it. While road improvements with a shared maintenance agreement would be beneficial to everyone who uses the road, that burden should not be unilaterally placed on the applicant here when it was not imposed on all the lots created before hers. So under these circumstances, a waiver of the grading and street design requirements is appropriate. 10, a waiver from the buffering requirements adjacent to the active farmland on the northern side of this property is not appropriate. 11, this preliminary approval is subject to following conditions. A, only two lots, being the new 0.87 acre lot and the 3.843 acre residual lot with the applicant's home shall be permitted. Any further subdivision shall require an additional public hearing. B, there shall be a vegetated perimeter buffer included along the northern boundary of the lot adjacent to parcel 430, 5.006.01. The agricultural setback required by section 99-6 of the subdivision code shall be included within this buffer, and the agricultural use protection notice shall be included on the final site plan as well as the deeds to the two lots. There does not need to be any buffering between this new lot and the rest of the applicant's property or its frontage along Victory Lane. C, for the reasons stated in this motion, a waiver from the grading and street design requirements shall be permitted. D, there shall only be one point of access to Victory Lane serving these two lots, using the existing driveway and its single entrance onto Victory Lane. No second entrance onto Victory Lane shall be permitted. This shall be clearly shown on the final site plan along with a note limiting access to the existing driveway only. E, the final site plan for the subdivision shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
There's my motion, sir.
Pardon me, County Attorney, Mr. I apologize, but we noted that there's a variance in the acreage listed in the motion. So the short title has the 4.57, whereas the motion has the 4.75.
It should be 4.57. I apologize.
So I just didn't want it to sneak through on that.
That's understood.
I second the motion.
It's moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2024-09, Lorraine Brown, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, the chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2460, Jose Hernandez Perez.
Mr. Chairman, Council is going to read a motion into the record on my behalf.
All right, Mr. Mears, his motion is that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2460 for Jose Hernandez Perez in a GR district for a warehouse, office, and indoor and outdoor storage based on the record made in the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use is situated on a 2.95 acre parcel of land. With the conditions and stipulations of approval, the use will not have a negative impact on the neighboring properties. Two, the purpose of this application is to create a location for office space and warehousing with indoor and outdoor storage for the applicant's construction and home building businesses. The applicant intends to operate two primary businesses from the property, a home building company, and a concrete foundation and flatwork business. These businesses serve the surrounding areas. Excuse me. Three, the property is approximately a third of a mile from the intersection of Layton Davis Road and Route 24 in an area where there is a mixture of commercially and residentially zoned properties, including MR, AR1, C1, CR1, C2, and B1. This conditional use is appropriate within this mixture of existing uses and zoning districts. Four, no retail sales shall occur from the property. Five, the applicant has stated that most of the work is off-site, so there is not a lot of activity that occurs on this site. In addition, DelDOT has stated that the use will have a diminutive impact upon local area roadways, and DelDOT has issued a commercial entrance permit for the use. As a result, the use will not have an adverse impact on traffic or area roadways. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to this application, and there are several letters in the record supporting it. Seven, the property is located within the coastal area according to the future land use map contained in the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The coastal area is a growth area where business and commercial uses such as this can be located. Eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the conditional use shall be limited to office, workshop, warehouse, inside and outside storage areas in the areas and buildings specifically designated for those purposes on the final site plan. B, all work other than storage shall only occur indoors. C, no retail sales shall occur from the site. D, a fence shall be installed and maintained along the perimeter of the property. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. E, no vehicle, equipment, or repairs other than routine maintenance shall occur outside. F, all lighting on the site shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. G, any dumpsters on the site must be screened from the view of neighboring properties and roadways. H, the applicant shall comply with all DelDOT requirements for entrance and roadway improvements. I, the hours of operation shall be Monday through Friday between 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. and between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturdays. There shall not be any Sunday hours. J, one indirectly lit on-premises ground sign shall be permitted on the site along Layton Davis Road. It shall be no longer than 32 square feet, or no larger than 32 square feet per side. K, all vehicle parking and storage areas shall be clearly shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. Outside storage of building materials and equipment shall be limited to the areas designated for storage on the final site plan. All vehicles, including the applicant's vehicles and employees' vehicles, must only be parked within the designated areas. L, no junked, inoperable, or untitled vehicles shall be located on the site. M, stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. These facilities shall be operated in a manner that is consistent with best management practices. The final site plan shall include the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all required stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. And the applicant shall submit as part of the final site plan a landscaping and fencing plan showing the tree, shrub, and fence landscape design that provides screening from neighboring and adjacent properties. O, failure to comply with any of these conditions may be grounds for the termination of the conditional use approval. And P, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson.
Welcome.
That's second. My motion, Mr. Chairman.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2460, Jose Hernandez Perez, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Chair votes yes to the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Next item is conditional use number 2469, Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2469 for Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC, to operate a mini storage facility based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. The use of an indoor storage facility is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of neighboring properties and uses in the area. Two, the use is to be located along Route 24 with access from Robinsonville Road. It is in an area along Route 24 where several businesses exist. This is an appropriate location for this type of low intensity use. Three, the use will be a self-storage facility with an office. No outside storage will be allowed, and no manufacturing, assembling, fabrication, or similar activities will be permitted. Four, there was testimony in the record that there is a need for self-storage facilities in this part of Sussex County. This type of use complements the residential development that is occurring in this area of Sussex County, and it will reduce the amount of traffic traveling to Route 1 for storage needs. Five, although the site is currently wooded, it was clear-cut in 2010, so the existing trees are mainly newer growth. And the applicant is committed to preserving approximately 1.62 acres of the existing woodlands. 6, there are no wetlands on the site. 7, this type of storage facility generates a relatively minor amount of traffic when compared with other types of uses. It will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. There was testimony about the location of the entrance onto Robinsonville Road and not Route 24, but that location has been directed by DLDOT. 8, the project, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. 9, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, there shall not be any outside storage on the premises. This includes the prohibition against outside storage of building materials, construction materials, boats, and RVs within the site. B, any security lights shall be screened downward, screened with downward illumination so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties or roadways. C, the perimeter of the storage area shall be fenced and gated, and the fencing shall be vinyl coated or utilize a similar material. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. D, there shall be only 2 indirectly lit signs allowed on the site of no more than 32 square feet per side. One may be located on Robinsonville Road and the other on Route 24. In addition, 1 directly lit wall sign shall be permitted. E, stormwater management shall be maintained on site using best management practices. F, the hours of operation for the facility will be as follows. Gate access will be available daily from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Office hours will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. G, a perimeter landscape buffer shall be established at varying widths, consisting of existing trees to the greatest extent possible, as shown on the preliminary site plan. The final site plan shall also include details of the perimeter landscape buffer. H, any trash receptacles associated with the use shall be screened from neighboring properties and roadways. I, the final site plan shall indicate all parking and drive aisles. J, the use shall be subject to all DLDOT requirements regarding entrance and roadway improvements necessary to provide access to the site. K, as stated by the applicant, approximately 1.62 acres of the existing woodland shall be preserved. Those preservation areas shall be shown on the final site plan. L, any violations of the conditions of approval of this conditional use may result in the termination of this conditional use. M, the final site plan shall be subject to approval of the final of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2469, Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Mears.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Next item is change of zone number 2041, James Yerke II.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to change of zone 2041, James Yerke II, I'm going to pass it over to council.
All right, thank you, Mr. Butler. It is Mr. Butler's motion that the commission recommend approval of change zone number 2041 from James Yerke II for a change zone from MR, medium density residential, to AR1, agricultural residential, based on the record made in the public hearing for the following reasons. 1, the property is currently a 1.5 acre lot. The applicant is requesting this change in zone to AR1 so that conditional use can be sought to allow the applicant to store vehicles and equipment on his property before he constructs a home there. As stated by the applicant, the primary use of the property will ultimately remain residential. This type of conditional use is not possible in the MR1 zoning district. 2, downzoning the property from AR1 or to AR1 is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan and its future land use map. 3, should the conditional use not be approved or should it expire, the AR1 zoning would remain in place, which is less intensive zoning district than the MR district. 4, there was no opposition to this rezoning application. And 5, for all these reasons, the rezoning of this property today from MR to AR1 is appropriate.
And there's my motion, sir.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 2041, James Yerke II, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
And Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Next item is conditional use number 2464, James Yerke II.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to conditional use 2464, James Yerke II, I'm going to also turn this over to council.
All right, thanks again, Mr. Butler, and it's his motion that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2464 for James Yerke II for outdoor storage within the AR1 district based upon the record made in the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the applicant owns his property and intends to build his home with a large garage on the property at some point in the future. In the meantime, the applicant seeks approval for this conditional use to allow the outdoor storage of his vehicles, equipment, and other items until such time as he can build his home and garage upon the property. Two, the use will be very limited, and the applicant has stated that there will be no public access to the property. It will not be used as a commercial storage facility. As a result, the use will not have any impact on area roadways. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulation imposed upon it will not have an adverse impact upon the neighboring properties or community. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to the outdoor storage of vehicles, equipment, and similar items. B, the property shall not be accessible to the public. C, no maintenance or repair activities shall occur on the site, and no equipment, parts, or materials associated with HVAC systems shall be stored on the site. D, any security lighting shall be shielded and downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. E, no hazardous materials or fuel stored on the property other than what may be in the tanks of the vehicles, equipment, and similar items located on the site. F, the areas to be used for storage, for outside storage, including driveways, parking areas, pad sites, and bins, shall be clearly marked on the final site plan and on the site itself. There shall not be any storage bins, pad sites, or parking within the property setbacks. G, this conditional use shall expire upon the sale or transfer of title to the property or upon the issuance of a certificate of occupancy. Let me start over. This conditional use shall expire upon the sale or transfer of title to the property or upon the issuance of a certificate of occupancy to the applicant for a home that is constructed on the property. If a home is constructed, the conditional use is no longer necessary since the use will be accessory to the primary residential use of the property. H, the failure to abide by any of these conditions may be grounds for the revocation of this conditional use. And I, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the planning, Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Here's my motion, sir.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2464, James Yerke, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons, conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. And the motion carries 5-0. Thank you.